Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The bee, the man.
You gotta beat the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
Hey, this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojelicious? Wojelicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojelicki?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Oh, it's the song I picked. What do you want?
You started with Pressure, didn't you?
Yeah. Welcome to another
edition really
of
World
Wrestling Radio. The music tonight is in tribute to one of the greatest piano players of all time, native New Yorker Billy Joel. Because today, a really cool concert CD from his one of the last concerts ever at Shea Stadium is on stands now in stores. Our number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you are part of the Skype network, the online program, you add Sir Rockin', that is two words, and you can be on our show tonight. Later on this evening, we'll do a preview of TNA's Victory Road pay-per-view. We will also get into everything that is from another legend-filled WWE Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. But speaking of legends, besides the Spug and the Mace joining us here this evening, we're very glad they're able to contribute to our show tonight. We have one half of what I regard, and I'm not saying it because he's on the line and he could Road Warrior clothesline me into the middle of the next decade.
Doomsday Device!
He is one half of the tag team that, sorry, Team 3D, has won the All Japan Tag Team Championship, the AWA Tag Team Championship, the NWA/WCW Tag Team Championship, and the WWE Championship. You knew him with a tag team member of Hawk. He is also the dad of someone that Spug is so dying to talk about, and we'll talk Ohio State football with him as well. But he's here because he has a very good book out on stands now and also available through Amazon.com. It's called The Road Warriors, Danger, Death, and the Rush of Wrestling. Road Warrior Animal joins us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thanks, guys. You forgot a couple of the Australian Tag Team Championships. You forgot the Mexican Tag Team Championships. You've had all Japan, New Japan. But I'm not going to be petty about it. But in the great words of Muhammad Ali, the champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
I think you guys hold belts in every. I think you guys even won belts in Antarctica. It seems like every time it was fun to read through your book and just go, God, they really did win belts everywhere. Holy God!
I know, man. There's like some 15 something titles, and it's not winning the same title back to back because we've done that numerous times too. So the Dudleys should quit counting because there's only two companies in existence, so they'll never win multiple championships like we did. It'll never happen again in the wrestling business unless everything breaks down and, you know, and it's just, you know, it develops back into small territories again, which that'll never happen.
Yeah. Does that bother you, by the way, that you have tag teams now who will, quote unquote, claim that they are the greatest, yet the Road Warriors, when you list the all-time great tag teams, the Road Warriors are usually number one or number two on everybody's list. But it seems that people often forget about how great of a tag team you were as far as your ingenuity and your your swagger and the domination, so to, you know, quite frankly, that you had in the professional wrestling world.
Well, you know, people just want to be, I don't want to say ride on coattails, but they want to be compared to the greatest at all times. We achieve in our business, our sport, to be the best we could possibly be. And, you know, unfortunately, you don't have all those territories with a world champion in each territory and a world tag team champions in each territory to work with. So you can't say you've really wrestled with the best, and you can't say today that you're best tag team of all time because you haven't competed against some of the teams that we competed against that really were. I mean, hey, you said one or two. That's first time I ever heard number two, but that's cool. I'll take it, you know. But usually on most people's lists, we were so far. Listen, if you were to go today and have Hawk and I come out as a tag team today, people would go, these guys fit it right in. I mean, because we were so far ahead of our time, muscle-wise and build-wise, that's what I think would help us supersede our gimmick. And the fact that we changed along with the times and, you know, kind of had the heavy metal warrior era, you know, and we just, our gimmick evolved, you know. But I'm proud to say that we learned by the best in the wrestling business, which a lot of guys now coming up will never have the opportunity to say. It's almost not even a fair comparison, and I feel bad for guys that try to compare themselves to us because it's just, you're never going to be able to get to that status. Unfortunately, you're always going to be compared to us.
Yeah, it almost seems like for tag teams, it's you guys, and for singles, it's Nature Boy Buddy Rogers or someone like Superstar Billy Graham, who Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura and so many others have taken it away. I know from reading in the book, you kind of felt it was flattering that after meeting with Vince in the 80s, before you guys decided to go back to the Crockett's, all of a sudden Barry Darso, Bill 80 show up as Demolition, but be honest with us. Are you sitting there looking at them and Powers of Pain and all these teams and going, yeah, so royalties, boys? I mean, did that humble you that everybody wanted to be you guys?
Yeah, it did. The way it didn't bother me in the least because people always knew what the original was, you know, so I didn't worry about it. Barry Darso and Bill Eady were two good friends of mine, and, you know, that whole gimmick just coincidentally evolved after we went there, and like you said, declined the first offer, went back to Crockett, and so Vince probably thought, hey, I'm going to make my own set of Road Warriors, and, you know, Demolition evolved. But the difference is, guys, Demolition were two wrestlers they put together to make a Road Warrior-type gimmick. We were two guys out of the bar that came right into the wrestling scene. So the rawness that we had helped us with our gimmick. You know what I mean? And I agree with you, man. You know, we did for tag teams what Hogan did for singles wrestlers. I mean, we were considered the Hulk Hogan of tag teams, which what bigger compliment can you get, man, from a guy who took the wrestling business and took it to a whole new plateau?
He is Road Warrior Animal. The number is 267-297-1397. Please don't be afraid to call in. He will not attack you. Well, you're not wearing paint right now, are you? You didn't paint up for
us. No. I will be this week, though, because I got a couple of autograph sessions this week in Minnesota. So.
Oh, we'll definitely mention those dates as we move on here.
Your gimmick had such an intimidation factor to it. I mean, you see you and Hawk walk out, and it was, you know, it was one of those things where you were immediately frightened, and one of the best entrances that I ever saw was at SummerSlam, I believe it was 92, at Wembley Stadium in London, England, and you heard the oh, what a rush, and the music hit, and then Paul Ellering came out with Rocco and on the Harleys, and that place just went absolutely nuts.
I agree with you, man. That match in that setting, you know the way the Brits, they cheer a lot like the Australians cheer, too. It's the dun, 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 with the horns, and then you had 90,000 people chanting LOD, and it was unmatched by anybody. It was so loud, the cheer. We couldn't hear the motorcycles. We couldn't hear the music. We heard the first, like you said, and after that, we never heard a sound until we got in the ring and looking around, and there's 90,000 people on their feet chanting for you. It was wild, man. It was crazy. See, I think that type of attraction, it's hard to be matched again. I mean, I don't know. I mean, hey, I know okay, go back to the Dudleys. They were champs, and they were very respectful when Hawk passed away, but I don't ever remember seeing them on any pay-per-view with the ovation or the Warrior pop like that coming out to the ring. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of separates the men from the boys a little bit. When you're going, and if you're trying to compare, if guys are saying, "Ah, oh, they're the greatest tag of all time," okay, well, show me your YouTube hits you got. I mean, I got probably 50 million hits on all my different YouTube videos. You know, I mean, wow. I didn't even know I had those until my daughter pointed them out, and because I never even go on YouTube. You know, so evidently we did something like, hey, listen, guys, the best part about our wrestling gimmick and one of the reasons I wrote the book was for the fans. I mean, we had some of the greatest fans and still do ever in the history of wrestling business. I mean, the fans kept the Road Warriors machine rolling.
We actually have one on the line. Your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brad, Louisville.
Hey, Brad, how you doing? You're on with Road Warrior Animal.
All right.
Yeah, man. Louisville Gardens, man. I've been there.
Oh, man. God, that was one of, I loved it. I was a horseman guy, though.
Ooh.
Okay. Hey, man. They were two of the greatest guys we ever wrestled. They were the best teachers for Hawk and I at our point in time of our career. Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson were phenomenal.
All right. That's kind of where I want to go with what I want to ask is the J.J. Dillon injury, Great American Bash, 87. Legitimate?
Oh, yeah, because there wasn't enough room to do the two creative fights, you know? And so I picked up JJ, and, of course, Hawk came off the ropes way too early, and I just had to kind of dump him quick, and he dislocated his shoulder. Yeah, it was an accident.
You have anything else for him? Feel free
to
ask.
That was it. I appreciate it. It was good to talk to you.
All right, man.
Oh, wonderful. He led me to something I wanted to ask. In your NWA/WCW career, Dusty seemed to put you guys in the most craziest situations. The first being the Night of the Skywalkers with the Midnight Express. Can you tell the story of what happened between filming the vignettes and actually getting the Starrcade 86? Because I don't think most fans know it unless they either read the book or watched the WWE DVD, what happened to Hawk in between all of that and how dangerous it really was for him to even go up to the scaffold.
Well, you know, it was one of those things that when we filmed the vignettes with the Pumpkins, and we wrote Loverboy, Dennis, and Beautiful Bobby on the Pumpkins, and Jimmy Cornette's name on there, and we threw him off scaffolding. Filming was so far ahead of its time there. Nobody did vignettes at that time. And we filmed this vignette of those, Midnight Express, this is what we're going to do to you. Your head's going to explode like a pumpkin, you know. And we did that. Then Hawk and I took off and went to Japan, wrestled Japan. Well, while we're in Japan, Hawk takes a backdrop from, and, you know, we're wrestling Jumbo Tsuruta and Yatsu, two of the best champions they have over there. And Hawk takes a backdrop from them because, you know, they're the world champ, they're Japanese champions, I should say, all Japan champs. And he breaks his leg, his lower part of his leg. So he goes to the hospital, gets a cast. We come back, and we have a pay-per-view the weekend after. And it's the first match in Atlanta on the Night of the Skywalkers. And so Hawk goes, well, the show must go on. And I cut that cast off. And then, you know, thank God I took athletic injuries in college because I taped it up for him and put a nice tight basketball on there, heel lock, so his foot couldn't move. And we wrestled the match.
And, of course,
Hawk did it with a broken leg. Nobody even knew.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when we talked to Jim Cornette about it, he had oh-so-fond memories of what happened after the match. Is it true
that you were up on that scaffold laughing
your ass off?
That was Big Bubba Rogers' fault at the time, the Boss Man. I mean, I knew it was a shot in the dark of him even catching Jim Cornette. You know what I mean? And I said, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" And Jimmy Cornette let go. He dropped like a lead brick, and you know, Bubba was 3 feet away from him. All I heard was, "My knees, my knees!" leave? You know, and he was crying. It was not pretty. It was not a pretty sight.
Yeah, the second match that came in all of that craziness was the original War Games match. When you and Hawk are sitting there with Paul Ellering and Dusty walks in and says, okay, so I got this double cage idea. Are you guys just sitting there going, are you smoking stuff? I mean, what was the locker room reception, especially the horsemen, about it?
We actually thought, okay, what next? What are we going to be in next? And you know, it was a great idea. And we knew at the end of the day it was going to be good for us and bad for them, you know, the poor horsemen. But it was really, I think we got a chance to show some real athleticism there. I mean, we did flying tackles across both rings, and people don't realize there was probably a 3.5 to 4 foot gap between rope to rope to ring, you know what I mean? So we had to fly about 7-8 feet in the air to hit the Italian Arn in the middle of the ring with flying tackles. It was a pretty interesting time.
You've been in the ring, and I'm sorry for the basic cookie cutter cliche question here, but you've been in the ring with, you know, some of the legends of the business: Ted DiBiase, Mike Rotundo, whose son is now wrestling, the Midnight Express, the Four Horsemen. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. Who was the craziest time that you've had in the ring, either in difficulty of working a match with them or, you know, fun, you know, just playing out fun in the ring?
Well, playing out fun in the ring's got to go to Midnight Express. Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey used to make us laugh like crazy. Literally, where Hawk would look at me and say, Adol, you can't laugh. And I'd just be laughing because those two would be fighting outside the ring, deciding who's going to come in and face one of us first, you know. And they were just great. I mean, they were great. And the horsemen were great technicians. We had our serious matches with them, you know, for tag team championships and everything else. Everything like that was with the Four Horsemen, you know. So I can't complain about either group, either tag team, man. They both were great.
Like I said, I'm sorry for the cliche, you know, cookie cutter question. But if I could, I'd like to switch real quick. Your son is affectionately known around the Ohio State fan base as Little Animal. And I remember going to games and seeing the kids in the student section with the shoulder pads and the LOD type face paint and scarlet and gray, you know, all over, and the Laurinaitis jerseys. Your first
the
time
of at Laurinaitis.
Mm-hmm. Your first time at the shoe. And you saw all of that. Did it take you back a little bit to see wrestling transition to football like that, or
well,
was it?
I was actually surprised. I remember walking with my kid, you know, before his freshman year, and on the sidelines, and people yelling, Animal, we're expecting your kid to be the next AJ Hawk, you know, and hey, Laurinaitis, we're expecting you to be the next AJ Hawk, yelling that to my kid. And talk about putting a pressure on a 17-year-old kid at the time, you know what I mean? It was pretty crazy, you know. So, but hey, man, nothing better than the state of Ohio and Ohio State University and the shoe. Are you kidding me? One of the all-time classics of places to play football, you know. You guys realize that Ohio State, there's never been a three-time first-team All-American at any position. I mean, that just kind of blows your mind with all the great players that come out of Ohio State. There's never been a three-time first-team consensus All-American until James did it his senior year.
That's right.
There's only been five in the history of college football. You got Bill Frelick, Hugh Green, Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson, and then James Laurinaitis.
But it
totally amazes me, you know. I just thought with a great program like that, I expected more, you know.
No, I do consider myself a very big fan of the Ohio State University. I mean, I have the tattoo
on
my arm.
A big fan? You lost a bet to the campus legend Brad Allen and have to wear a Miami jersey soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about that.
He lost a super. We did a bet on the show with a former WWE developmental star, where if he had won, he would have had to wear Ohio State sweater at the Ohio State-Miami game in Miami, and because Spug lost, he's got to wear a University of Miami jersey.
Oh,
but to be fair, to be fair, it is a Cozar jersey, and as a Browns fan, I can't complain.
He's wearing
too
Bernie.
Much. Yeah, so, a little bit of Ohio there,
Right, but I refresh my memory because I'm really, I'm not sure. Did James get his tree in Buckeye Grove?
You know, I don't know. He should have. I mean, you know, he's the only guy, the only linebacker to win in Nagurski, the only one to win the Butkus. In the Ohio State's history. So, I mean, with the tradition of great linebackers, I'm sure he probably, he's either got a tree in Buckeye Grove or is going to have one soon. I mean, to me, you know, within the next few years, he's going to have to be College Football Hall of Fame stuff. I mean, you know, with some of the stuff he's done.
Does it, when, as James was growing up, did you, you know, we hear of some wrestlers who try to keep their children away from the ring, and away from the wrestling industry. Did you try to hide any of that at all? Or did you say, this is what I do. This is, you know, where I come from. And if you want to go this route, okay.
Well, I sat my kids down and said, listen, what daddy does, he controls everything. I said, so don't take me serious if I get hurt or something happens, or, you know, because I'm really not hurt. I sat them down for that point of it. I said, you know, I also had to, when it went dark a little bit with all the bra and panties matches, my kids stayed away from the business, you know, because my house was the pay-per-view party house. Dad was on pay-per-view, so, you know, James would have the pay-per-view parties. It'd either be his whole football team or his hockey team at the time, whatever sport he was playing, because he was a great ice hockey player as well, you know. And, you know, so it, he knows the ins and outs of the business. I mean, there's pictures in my book. He's power bombing his sister when he's like 8 years old on the trampoline in the backyard.
There's a photo in the book. There's a photo.
Oh, I know, right? And that's, he used to do that all the time. When I come home, you know, he'd have 12 buddies over. Hey, Mr. Laurinaitis, can you give me a suplex off the diving board? So I would do it on the, I wouldn't want them doing them themselves. So I'd give them suplexes off the diving board. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so, I mean, little things like that. And I was always, you know, part coach and everything else, you know. So, I mean, I separated, you know, road warrior animal from dad.
Now, what was draft day like in your house? Was there, did you do the big, huge party, or was it a private thing? And what did you feel when you heard he had been drafted by the St. Louis Rams?
Well, it was a private thing with some close friends of ours, and we sat there and watched it. And, you know, we had heard from different teams that anywhere from pick number 10 on down, they said be ready, you know. We thought, we didn't know what was going on with the draft. And, you know, you can't ever predict the way the draft's going to go. I mean, he was the first inside linebacker taken. Sometimes they go early in the draft. Sometimes they go where James went, the top of the second round, you know. I mean, you just don't know where they go, you know what I mean. But he's doing well. I mean, he's had, even though he has not made the Pro Bowl the last 2 years, he's got Pro Bowl numbers. If you look at his numbers, they're better than some of the guys that went to Hawaii. So, you know, and there's going to be a couple guys that are getting up there in years as far as linebackers go. So I would expect, you know, James, especially now that the Rams are winning, they have like five or six syndicated games next year. So they get a lot of good television time too. So
I actually have one more football question because I'm a big Browns fan and I do a huge.
Sure.
And, on draft day, the year that James was drafted, the Browns traded down in the first round a couple of times to take Alex Mack in the latter part of the first round. Now, if memory serves, your son didn't go until the beginning of the second round.
Yep, top of the second.
And there was talk all over local radio that the Browns with their one pick, that, cause they had two at the beginning of the second round, that they were going to take James with that pick. Was there ever any conversation with the Browns that, did they call at all to pick him? Cause if not, they're idiots. Cause he's a superb linebacker.
He's trying to get the
both,
GM.
I thought both the Browns and the Bengals being Ohio teams really missed a freaking boat there. I mean, you had Mr. All-American there. Why would you pass up in the first round taking a kid? It's not like you're getting a bad pick. You're taking a kid as an instant caller of plays and your instant ring, your field general for you immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, we've had so much bad management here in Cleveland that, you know, we've lacked the linebacker position forever. And when we passed on AJ Hawk, a couple of years before that, and then we, you know, passed on James Laurinaitis, I just put my head in my hands going, why? Why?
Well, you know, sometimes with certain teams, history has a tendency to repeat itself. I mean, look, they have Brian Rebisky there, and they hardly ever use him.
This is a valid point.
Before he came,
there's a lot of great ball players.
Before he came out to play, there were rumors that he talked to WWE or didn't talk to WWE. Can you confirm deny this? And with all these second and third generation people out there, Ricky Steamboat's son's in FCW, there's a Briscoe there, Mike Rotunda's son, Kurt Hennig's son, would you have encouraged James to go into wrestling, or did you kind of sit there going, no, stay with the padding, get your education?
No, stay with the football, man. Stay with the football. Football was my first love. And I write it in the book. I love football. I said, stay with the football, man. You don't think about getting in the wrestling business right now. You got 10 years of career if you stay healthy, at least maybe a 14-year career if you don't get hurt, you know, play football. And, you know, you can't get to go back again and do that. Yeah, there's a lot of second-generation guys out there, but you know what? I see my kid work out. I just saw my son this last weekend. We just did a photo shoot in Columbus, Ohio for a water company called Avate. It's a caffeinated water. Believe me, I'm telling you, my son's definitely the best built second generation guy that would be with that company. I'll tell you that right now. By far, he's got tree trunks for legs. They're like 30 inch size. He's just extremely muscular, long, and you know, and the kid can talk. He can talk on the mic. He does great interviews with football, so he'd be a natural on the mic for wrestling, you know.
So he's like Bart Scott. Dude, what did you think when you saw Bart Scott of the New York Jets during the playoffs? Did you think like TNA did and going, now that's a promo, that's what football's missing? Do you like that kind of trash talking from players?
I don't like trash talking from players. And here's why. Because eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. You know what I mean? I like to see football at its purest. Keep the trash talking for on the field. Don't put it in the media, and the best way to get respect is to go out there and kick the other team's mouth. Everybody's a tough guy until you get punched in the mouth. That's an old saying in football. Everybody's a tough guy until you get punched in the mouth. Then you're not so tough anymore. And that's the way football should be, man. Keep quiet, shut up, and do all the trash talking on the field.
Now, just to bring it back around the wrestling, you know, no disrespect, guys, but American football talk... It puts me to sleep.
Yeah, if I'm our Australian brother, go ahead.
Yeah, there might be questions, but he said, I'll save them.
Yeah. Just want to know, WrestleMania 7 was the first time you and Hawk were on the grandest stage of them all, and here it is, you're going up against Power and Glory, and you pretty much destroyed them in less than 20 seconds. When you guys heard this, did you guys sort of just look at each other and go, really? This is how we're debuting?
Yeah, well, you know, we actually want a little bit more TV time, but, you know, there's, what, 20 matches, and they're trying to fit it all in a 2.5-hour time slot, it looks like, you know, a lot of times. And back then, when in the earlier number of WrestleManias, you know, they were just getting their feet wet on how they should be run properly, you know what I mean? And they were looking for a good impression from hey, we were the Road Warriors. We were destroying everybody in the country, and they wanted us to be the killers that we were. And we came in, and you know, it happened to be Power and Glory was the team that we beat up. You know.
Now, in the opening of the book, you chose to talk about winning the championships in Madison Square Garden at SummerSlam '91. That was me cheering really loud with my dad in section 105. You mentioned also on the Road Warrior DVD, which you can still buy in stores, me growing up in it, I used to be able to get to go to monthly house shows in Madison Square Garden and pay-per-views. Did the luster of the garden live up to you, or did you just sit there and go, nice building, okay, thanks?
No, man, I'll tell you, that building and the energy that night, it was one of those rare moments in the wrestling business where it gives you goosebumps. And, you know, that was our moment in the sun there. That was going for the first time we're going to win the WWF championship titles. And, you know, here we go. You know what I mean? And then the way the fans reacted to us I mean, the standing ovation that went on for about 10, we were there, 10 to 15 minutes after we beat them was freaking nuts, man. Second to none.
WrestleMania 14, there was the tag team battle royal in which LOD 2000 came out with Sonny. And, you know, you talk about goosebumps. That was a goosebump for me because you hadn't been seen for a while. And, you know, they talked, you know, promoting that, you know, this mystery team was going to show up. When you stepped out, you know, at WrestleMania 14 and heard the ovation at the Garden for you guys, was that another goosebump moment for you, or was it another day of punching the clock and let's go kick some ass?
No, that was another good day because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, I think we came off of one of Hawk's suspensions, you know what I mean, and failed a drug test, and, you know, we came back, and they tried something different. They put us with Sonny. Even though the look was ominous, you know, Hawk hated those helmets. He hated them with a passion. and I don't know why. And the wristbands and the you know, the catcher's gear I had on, and spiked gear with on legs, I thought it looked pretty cool. You know, it was a good marketing tool, great for selling action figures and everything else. You know what I mean? But, you know, the question was, everybody asked all the time, was it right to put Sonny with us? And I think they tried that just to soften us up. You know what I mean? And it really didn't soften us up that much at all, if any. So.
Do you have any issue with her going into the Hall of Fame as she was announced last night when there's so many other deserving people who should be in there?
Paul Ellering.
You know, man, that's a touchy question. You know, who am I to say who's supposed to win the Hall of Fame or not? She did a lot in the beginning. She was the first official diva that sold a lot of video stuff and merchandise as a girl. You know what I mean? I mean, she was the girl next door who did the... You know, Sonny, the thing on the beach and the bikini and stuff that she was way ahead of her time. I don't know, man. It's definitely a hard question. You know, I'm happy for her. She's going in. And I'll just leave it at that because, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings, including her, you know, but I mean, it's a good honor to have.
Yeah. I want to backtrack to something that came up in the book, and it was the way you guys left the NWA, especially with the Jim Herd issue. When you're in that locker room and you're seeing stuff such as him going up to Ric Flair and saying, you need to cut your hair and become Spartacus, and I'm going to do these guys called the Ding Dongs, was there just like a running bet in the locker room to who was going to go first, or did you sit there with Hawk and Paul Ellering and just go, all right, we'll give him a little time? Was there ever a talk? Did he ever come up to you guys and say, okay, so you guys are going to turn into this or turn into that? I'm sure I know what Hawk would have done just from the vibe I got from the book, but what are your feelings on that whole issue?
No, Jim Herd did not even come near us. he was not going to suggest to us what we were going to be and change our gimmick in the least. You know, he was a Pizza Hut guy, and, you know, he got all bent out of shape one day because Hawk did a promo, and he says, some of us should stick to wrestling, and some of us should stick to making pizzas. And Jim Herd knew it. It was directed right at him and took it personal, came back, and, you know, he says, you know, guys, I like to mix it up with the best of them. And we looked at him, and I said, Jim, are you challenging me? Are you challenging my partner? I hope you're not challenging us. And we just kind of left it at that. He says, no. I said, okay, good. I said, because we like to mix it up the best of them, too. And, you know, we looked at him at his first with the idea of the ding-dongs, that this guy is a freaking idiot. Just a freaking idiot. Knew nothing about the wrestling business that he needs to know. And for a guy that was involved in behind the scenes with Vern Gagne with AWA Wrestling, he had no clue on what was going on. Well, he was a downfall of WCW at that time.
Yeah, he was, you brought up Vern Gagne. I mean, I've read an interview with Shawn Michaels that when they came in as the Midnight Rockers, Vern actually didn't get the reference and thought he was talking about like rocking chairs. He didn't get the rock and roll reference. So it's a shame to hear certain teams like that. I mean, Arn and Tully left at one point and everybody. Was it weird to transition to WWE at that point and suddenly walk in and go, hey, half our locker room's over here. This is pretty cool.
Well, that's a, you know, that was the funny thing. They kept saying that, you know, hey, this is the up north territory in the WWE locker room, but three quarters of it was NWA guys that just couldn't stand the old boss. That's all it was. And you know, it wasn't like guys didn't travel from territory to territory anyway in the wrestling business. They always did. They always have. You know, so I don't know, man.
I'm sorry.
Jim Herd was an eyesore in the wrestling business. It just really was.
The number is 267-297-1397 if you want to join Road Warrior Animal here on All I Will of Wrestle Radio, Alan Wojcik with Spug and Mace. If you guys had debuted now, do you think it would have gotten over the way it is because all you have really much that have TV until the end of April is TNA, WWE, and Ring of Honor? Do you think you guys would have been as big a holy crap team in this one pay-per-view a month, TV Monday, TV, almost every day of this week, if you go on in some form or another, you're going to run into wrestling. Do you think it would you be as humongous, or do you think the marketing wouldn't have worked?
Well, I think right now you have overkill. Everybody's making the buck while the buck's there. That's overkill. A pay-per-view month's ridiculous. People can't afford that in this economy. And here's the thing. I think, and if you hear me out the way we did it in wrestling, we purposely didn't do the overkill. We could have stayed with the NWA for 10 years, but we didn't do that. We stayed to, went to Japan, came back, went to the AWA, went to Japan, came back, went and wrestled Montreal, came back, went to MWA again, you know, came back, went to WWF, took to Japan, came back, you know. We always purposely took time off away from the U.S. to give, so we stayed fresh in the people's minds. If we started out with an upcoming company now, it's Ring of Honor, I will admit, they're an upcoming company to great because they do have tag team division, okay? If we came out today in that tag team division and we got the same kind of push that we got before, you would have to stand up and take notice and say, hey, man, these two big muscle-bound behemoths can talk and they can wrestle. They can do a lot of things. You know, like you said, the other companies are based on a lot of singles matches and a lot of gimmick matches. Well, you know, I think it was something that, you know, if we had the positioning to get noticed, I there's no doubt in my mind that we could really strike up and make tag team wrestling back to where it should be, you know.
When you guys did your one-time stint in TNA Wrestling in Nashville, was there ever a talk of sticking around, or was it just financially not feasible? Would you guys have liked to have stayed with TNA?
Hey, Dusty was there at the time doing the book. We'd have loved to stay, you know, but there was a lot of egos at the time that, you know, at that time with TNA, with the Jarretts and everything else, man. Nobody was going to anybody get any. I mean, we even did a six-man with Jeff Jarrett one time, and it got over like $1 million, but nobody's going to let anybody outshine their single champion guy there. You know, it was the same mentality as the other company. And, you know, we would have stayed, we'd have loved to stay. We had agreements and verbal conversations that we were going to stay with TNA. And then for whatever reason, we just never got the call back. We went down to one day, did TV, got a standing ovation, and that was it. I couldn't tell you, man.
Unfortunately, we're in an era, and we had David Lagana last week, who is a member of WWE's creative, where you now, you guys with Paul Ellering were amazing with the promo and coming off the cuff, as you talk about in the book and in the DVD, Hawk could come up with the most amazing one-liners. Do you think you guys would have thrived in this environment that WWE has, where you have Stephanie McMahon Levesque as the head writer, and there's five or six on SmackDown, five or six on Raw, and some of them are sitcom writers? I mean, it's a lost art, and we talk about it here all the time. What's someone like you, who's been able to have the gift for the gab, so to speak, think of that?
Well, you know, I think, is it overloaded with writers? Absolutely. Who's going to be able to tell us, after all the interviews we did, what's the right thing to say and the wrong thing to say? Nobody. They didn't do that when we came in. They didn't do that near the end when I was at Heinrich. I mean, you gave me I said, what do you basically want to be said? What are the points you want to hit? Okay, I'll hit them. And you're right, that is a lost art. That goes back to what I was talking about before. Doing promos and being a natural in front of the camera and being able to talk, having the natural charisma to get yourself over and to work with the guys and be able to work with different personalities every night is a lost art. I think they get caught in the rut of wrestling the same type of guy all the time. Why do you think only a certain few guys do promos? When back when we were doing it, if there were 10 matches on the card, all 10 matches did interviews. Because they all could talk. And that was a part of the art that they all grew up learning how to do. You know what I mean? It's
now,
something that doesn't exist anymore.
Now, you brought up a name during what you were just answering there that strikes me as sort of weird. Going into 2005, you're teaming with Heidenreich. How'd that come about? Like, I know you guys had the, well, you had the DVD coming out, so you brought in to pub that. But, you know, what, how'd they go about
with Heidenreich? Well, that's probably why we were brought in, like you said. We were probably brought in because they knew they were getting ready to do a DVD and they wanted to do it, so let's bring Animal in. That's probably what happened. You know, here's the thing, guys. I was acting like that was a big favor done by them to bring me in. It was no big favor. I was grossly underpaid, you know. So I said, okay, you want to try to buy something or what's left of the LD gimmick? I said, I'll help you do it. And, they pulled me aside and said, well, you know, we'll put you this guy. We got good news and bad news. Good news is you're going to be working here. Bad news is we got a guy. He's a lot like Hawk. And, you know, you may have to do a little bit of babysitting. I said, you got to be kidding me, man. I just spent 20 years of babysitting. I don't want to spend any more time babysitting. And, you know, and it ended up being one of the biggest mistakes that I could have made in the business by doing it. I mean, I trusted and entrusted, but it wasn't the office's fault. It was Heidenreich's fault. He did not, you know, he talked a big talk about how much he respected the Road Warrior gimmick and being a part of the Legion of Doom and everything else. But then he would show up late to every show and not care about it and leave his shoulder pads and everything else and throw them all around the locker room when you get pissed off. So, I mean, you know, if you respect something, respect it. Don't give it lip service. Say you respect it and then you don't respect it on the same end. I mean, I spent 20 years building that gimmick. You know, there was a lot of other guys in the business that were jealous at that time that were working for WWE that would love to have been in that spot.
Would there ever come a situation where you would, you know, resurrect the LOD gimmick with two new individuals to carry it on, or is it one of those things where we need to let it rest in the annals of wrestling history and respect it for what it is, as one of the greatest tag teams to ever lace up the boots?
You know what? I mean, geez, you know, guys, I think I probably have to leave that to an opinion of guys like yourself who are true fans that study this business of ours inside and out. Personally, I don't think you're ever going to be able to redo a Road Warrior. The same way you're never going to be able to redo a Hulk Hogan or a Ric Flair. You just can't do it. You're just not going to be able to do it because you don't have the time and luxury to do it today, okay? If there was a way I could pass it on in a different manner, if it was right, and the guys were right, and the attitude of the guys were right, and they were going to give them the honest push like they gave us for a couple years, whatever it was, I would love to be a part of it, be the creator of it, be the, you know, the teacher of it or whatever, man. You know, I'm a teacher by nature. My personal opinion, I should be on helping with this new Tough Enough, teaching these guys how to wrestle, or I should be down in FCW like I was. I was down there for a while training some guys. I mean, that's my passion. That's what I do best. Or an agent behind the scenes. That's what I've studied this business. I've studied this business inside and out. I know this business, and that's what I would have loved to have done. And I thought, to be honest with you, by now I would be doing it with either company by now, you know. But it just hasn't worked out the way it should have worked.
Well, that's probably like a natural thing. I mean, your brother is head of talent relations or whatever you want to call it for WWE. Is there a reluctance on your part to call him and say, hey, John, you know, I've been doing this a lot longer than you? Or do you think there would be that nepotism that a lot of the agents would go, you're only here because of your brother and watch your step type thing?
Well, you know, they do play that nepotism card pretty big, but I mean, come on. I think that the guys will understand that it's not nepotism with me. I mean, I do have a little bit of information under my belt, and I have been around the block once or twice, and I have probably been in about 3,000, 5,000 main event matches, you know what I mean? So So I do know the wrestling business. It's not like I was a brother that wrestled in a small territory that never made it to the big time, and all of a sudden my brother brings me in and then I do that. You know what I mean? And so I have thrown it out there. I have asked numerous times to the point where I've actually, be honest with you guys, have given up on the fact, and, you know, just leave it at that. I just don't, I want to beat a dead horse down, so I don't do it.
Now, I've got an email question that came in to radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com from Mike Liguori. Wanted to know, if Darren Drozdov hadn't suffered his injury, do you think he would still be working for WWE today? And how often do you even keep in touch with him at all?
You know, I don't get to talk to Droz at all. I've not talked to him for a while. I think last time I saw him was at a WrestleMania. You know, he's backstage. Do I think if he didn't get hurt, would he still be wrestling? Well, he'd probably still be wrestling with me, but you don't know. I mean, it's a hard question to ask. It's not a question you can answer. Yes, he still would be with the company because you don't know the way the company would have changed and developed if it would have fit his style or his gimmick. You know what I mean? That's a hard question to answer. But I do believe he'd be wrestling somewhere.
To take it back real quick to the, you said earlier that, you know, the Road Warriors were right out of the bar and into the wrestling ring. And in the mid-90s and into the early 2000s, there was the tag team of the Acolytes, who had the barroom kind of, you know, brawler mystique about them after the whole Disciples angle that they did with the Undertaker, and they were, you know, they were smoking cigars and drinking beer and doing the barroom brawl matches and stuff like that.
Are you talking about DOA?
Yeah, no, Bradshaw and Bradshaw and Farouk.
Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I get it. Okay.
Sorry, I jumbled my words there.
It's okay.
But, you know, could you have seen them kind of carrying the Road Warriors torch in a different way, not necessarily as Road Warriors, but keeping up that intimidating, you know, we're here to whoop your ass and you're going to remember our name when we leave, mystique?
Well, you know, let's be clear here. I mean, Bradshaw and Ron Simmons, two phenomenal athletes, two phenomenal workers, both in their right mind with Ron did the Farouk deal and, you know, Bradshaw being Bradshaw, made great names of themselves as single wrestlers. Probably wrestling as the Acolytes helped them get to that next step. You know, they were good, man. They were running roughshod and tearing up everybody. They were perfect for that timing in the wrestling business. You know what I mean? Timing called for them to be the new butt kickers for that little 10-year period there or whatever it was. I don't know if it would have sustained to be like 20, 22 years like Hawk and I were. Because, you know, our gimmick was we grew up in the streets of Chicago together and everything else. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. So it was since we were 8 years old, so it was a different deal. But stop.
Do you feel that the wrestling fans, you know, Smart Marks included, do not give JBL enough credit for the heel champion that he was during his run as World Wrestling Federation champion?
Well, I think JBL is one of the best heel champions that ever wrestled for WWE, hands down.
Well, look at the pop he got last night when he came out in Dallas, Texas. I mean, that was just holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, man, the guy was a great wrestler, a great heel. What a perfect heel, man. He was a perfect, excellent heel. And that's why you see all these here, guys, if you notice, when they announced Trish Stratus is going to be in the match, loud cheer. They announced The Rock coming back, loud cheer. They announced Stone Cold going to run this new show, loud cheer. Booker T came back, loud cheer. Bradshaw coming back, loud cheer. What is that telling you? They're going back to the guys that helped build the business to what it was, and they're getting loud cheers because people love that era. Not that they don't like the era now, but they love that era. There was a personal connection with guys that wrestled 15 years ago.
Now, real quick, I have something silly for you, and I would like you to critique this. this, I'm going to set this up. This is my 6-year-old daughter doing the opening of your WWF theme song. If you could play it for me, Rock.
Oh, God.
Oh, what a rush! That's awesome.
That's great. That's great. Tyler, good job, man. That's a good job. TC out of the mouths of babes, you know. I tell you, that's one thing that's beautiful about the internet, Facebook, and YouTube, and WWE's 24/7 on demand program. We're seen all over the place, and when there's a championship match, whether it's shown in Australia or shown in Korea or China, from the AWA, NWA, WCW, or WWE, WWF, Hawk and I we're the tag team champs on all of them, so we're in there somewhere. You know, and that's one of the good lucky deals that we have is that we're seen by kids now. They look at us and say, oh, wow, are these guys? Why are these? I get emails, how come you guys aren't on Raw? You know, a lot of them don't even realize that, you know, we've not, you know, the Hawk's been dead for years.
Now, is there anyone on the roster of the greats that you and Hawk were in territories with that you as a tag team would have said, damn, why didn't we ever get to work them? Or I really wanted to work them. Was there anyone on the list, or did you pretty much feel everyone you ever wanted to touch up with in a ring you guys
wanted to? When we first came into WWF, okay, I think a good synergy would have been to have, at that time, you had Boss Man was working this thing with Hogan. Two or three different people were jumping Hogan and kicking his rear end all the time. If you would have bought Hawk and I in as the great equalizer for Hogan, where Hogan gets the win, all we do is we help beat him up. I think that would have been a big, you know, bam for both Hogan and us. I think that would have been great. It's something that was never seen. He was the other Road Warriors and Hulk Hogan. You know, the Hulk Hogan and the Hulk Hogan of tag teams together in the ring as a team.
You know what I mean? You guys competed against each other, and I think it's on the Road Warriors DVD. You guys and Tenryu in a tag match in Japan.
Yeah. I press slammed Hogan in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah, and then brawled all over the place with them.
We were all over.
You had the Doomsday device, and he just mentioned Tenryu, and it brought something up real quick in the back of my head. I apologize. In Tenryu at WrestleMania 7, I believe it was Tenryu, he did the power bomb, and it was kind of the first time that anybody had seen real, you know, power moves like that in the WWE or WWF at the time. How does it feel knowing, I mean, you guys have been doing stuff like that in the NWA for years, but coming into the WWF, does it kind of sit with you in the cockles of your heart, you know, to make you proud to know that you helped revolutionize wrestling in the WWE to a point with power moves like that?
Well, you know what? I think the Ultimate Warrior should have paid Hawk and I royalty. Because if he didn't have our moves to copy for his Warrior gimmick, he would have never had a gimmick. I mean, the press slam dropping behind, I was doing that 6, 7, 8 years before Warrior was Warrior. You know, the flying shoulder tackle, we did that for years too. You know, dropping the leg or splashing people or clothesline. Well, hey, who's been doing clotheslines for 15 years? You know what I mean? So, I mean, Warrior should have been happy.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough.
Yeah, I just got one more.
I don't mean to be brutal. You know, at least I'm not saying bad things about Warrior because he's trying to bury everybody else in the wrestling business. He's been out of it. But, I mean, you know, it's just being honest with it.
We've got no problem with anything said about the Warrior. We make a lot of fun of him on this network.
Yeah, we have a commercial of him delivering Papa John's pizza that's a mockery of mockeries. We could play it for you. Stay with us for commercial. If you stay with us at the top of the hour, we'll play it for you just so you can hear the impression that we got. Go ahead, Mace. You wanted to ask.
Yeah, I just want to ask, you know, even though, at least in my opinion anyway, the art of tag team wrestling has been shrinking a lot, at least with TNA and the WWE, is there any team out there that you would love to walk up to and go, you guys have a good it factor, let me give you this bit of advice and help you get to the next level? Is there anybody on your radar that could be the next big tag team?
No, but like you said, we don't get to see guys wrestle as a team enough to know that. I don't see anybody. I don't even see an It Factor guy as a single. Yeah, and I'm not saying that bad. I mean, the closest thing you have to an It Factor guy, Randy Orton, and Joe Henning's going to be one of those guys that makes it in the business just like his dad did. You know, he's doing great now. I don't think as tag teams, you know, the Rotunda boys may be able to have it down the road, you know, because they're two great boys that were good amateur wrestlers. But I don't, there's just not enough. They just don't put enough emphasis on tag. And you know what's funny? Because when they go through FCW and they go through the wrestling camps, they wrestle tag team matches. And you get the TV and there's like none. It's almost like a lost art that's not even a part of the wrestling business anymore, you know? And I know if you do a survey or do a phone survey, which you guys should do, call in or go online here and vote, would the wrestling business be better if it had tag team wrestling in it? I guarantee you'd probably get a great response on the yes end of it.
When you look at stars today, like The Miz and John Cena, who are still trying to make their way, do you think some of these guys would have survived the NWA of the 80s or the AWA and the road trips and everything? Or do you think none of the current stars would have survived that era?
Well, I don't know too many people that could have survived that era. It was absolutely brutal. John Cena is kind of a throwback build-wise and everything else. And it was a big man business back then, you know what I mean? So he'd be fine. But a lot of the guys that get thrown in, I don't think, you know, some of them wouldn't even had a chance back then. Not that they weren't tough enough. That's not it at all. It's, you know, 280 to 320 days a year on the road. That's brutal. You know what I mean? I had some times I had 100 days in a row without a day off in a different city every night. You know, so, I mean, and that was all we are part of a new growth in the wrestling business. That I had to do that for the business to grow in the way it was, you know, where it was growing.
You just mentioned your time on the road, and this is a question that we ask everybody. It's one of our, you know, one of our questions that nobody gets away from. I mean, you can choose to not answer it if you wish, and we've had people do that. But
and some of them are in the book, so you can mention book ones if you want.
Yeah, but the best rib that you have ever pulled, seen pulled, or had pulled on you, and I'm imagining that there weren't too many pulled on you, because I would be afraid that one of you would break my leg.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. There weren't too many ribs pulled on us. As a matter of fact, if any. But at that time in the business, you know, it was like, hey, we're doing this for everybody in the business, don't mess around type of deal. The funniest rib I saw, there's a couple of them. They both included the same guy, British Bulldog. one of my great friends. You guys probably heard every British Bulldog rib, I'm sure.
But go for it.
Well, Virgil, you know, Virgil is one of those guys that just wouldn't shut his mouth. And he'd keep on you and on you and on you and on you. And finally they told Virgil to stop doing something one time, and Virgil wouldn't do it. Well, Virgil came back from his match and went to go put his jeans on, and one leg of his jeans was cut off. And then there was another time that Virgil ticked him off one time in the locker room, and Davey Boy had super glued his tennis shoes to the ground.
I think we heard that one.
Yeah, he couldn't get them off. So, I mean, you know, Kurt Hennig was a good river. Kurt Hennig stopped by a pet store and put these fetal mice, baby mice, dead ones, fetal mice, in people's shoes and their pockets with their money and everything.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, I know, right? I was like, dig out and go pay somebody some money or go pay your tab, and all of a sudden a little fetal mouse falls out of your pocket.
Especially with Jake the Snake in the back.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah,
that was another one that was funny. That was another one that was funny, and it wasn't a rib. Jake would check that snake in sometimes on the airplanes, right? Well, we fly to some places, like in New York and that, it was like 20 degrees outside. You get up on that plane, it's well below zero. and he'd come back, and that snake would be freaking hard as a rock.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do it on purpose, but it just, you know, he'd check it in, he'd forget, he goes, oh, no, I forgot, you know, it's really cold in the bottom of that plane. He didn't do it on purpose, it just, you know.
Yeah, before we let you go, I got one more email question. It came from LaVonda Bell of Nashville, Tennessee. She says, I was a big fan of the tag team, the New Breed, of Chris Champion and Sean Royal. Did you guys ever square off with them, and what did you think of their We're From the Future, Coming Back to the Past gimmick?
You know, I think the New Breed gimmick was actually one of the ones that could have worked. I think it was their personalities which kept it from working. The honest to God's truth. Yeah.
Well, a car accident didn't help matters either.
No car accident, but also attitude, you know, thinking you know what doesn't stink because you're getting a push and stuff like that too, you know what I mean? Yeah, attitude's big in this business. If you got an attitude problem, the boys themselves, the locker room is the biggest attitude adjuster you could possibly ever want to get.
You said you fancy yourself a teacher. And I honestly learned quite a deal from sitting here with listening with you. And I just wondered, we ask this question a lot too. If there's one piece of advice that you could bestow upon new individuals looking to get into the business or looking to take that next step and become stars, what would it be? Other than what we just heard about, you know, attitude.
Well, I mean, study, study, study your craft. You have all this film today that wasn't available when I was in the business. You have all the, you have YouTube, everything. If they say, hey, you go out there and be like Earthquake, study all Earthquake's matches. If they go be like the Road Warriors, study the Road Warriors matches. Even if they're telling you, hey, you need to learn how to wrestle. When I went down there and coached at FCW, I worked with all the big guys because they needed to work with a guy who knew how to work a big man gimmick. Problem is, you got a lot of big guys that want to wrestle like Rey Mysterio. And it's just not going to work. And find your true identity. Find what the company wants you to be and be the best at that you can be. Don't copy one guy. Don't copy this guy. Don't copy that guy. Develop your own character and your own personality. If you do that, you'll be fine. If not, you're going to fall by the wayside like a lot of people do.
Yep. You had mentioned some upcoming book dates that fans can meet and greet with you. Where are you going to be appearing?
Well, I got March 10th. I'm in Minneapolis City Center, downtown Minneapolis from 12 to 1 at Barnes & Noble. And then I'm at Harmon Mall in Roseville, Minnesota the same night, March 10th. From 7 o'clock until however long I got to be there, and then March 17th, I'm at the Mall of America, at Barnes and Noble, signing from 6 o'clock until whenever I'm done. I'm also trying to work out a deal at a place called Bookends in Jersey for April, and then I got a bunch of stuff. If you go to my www.theroadwarrioranimal.com website, people can go on there and take a look at where I'm going to have my appearances. You know, so. I also do a show, guys. I'll throw a link to you guys too, man. Do some synergies here. I got a show I do. We're getting ready to go weekly with it. It's called Extreme Pro Wrestling Radio .com right now. It's a podcast, but it's getting ready. It's with K-Fan and Clear Channel. And they have a segment on there, you know, Just Ask Animal. It's going real well. I'm getting good hits on it. As a matter of fact, we just finished one today. If you guys want to go to it and listen to it, to what we did today. There were a couple of good guys, Chris Go and a guy named Big D, and it's pretty informative. A lot like you guys, man. We get into talking and wrestling. We have different things we're going to do, and I love to have you guys be my guests on that show. You know what I mean?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hey,
stay with us as we go to break, because we'll play you the Papa John's thing in a second here. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will get into everything WWE, TNA, some ROH, some indie stuff and everything. Road Warrior Animal's been with us, and don't forget, visit those websites as he mentioned. We will list them in our archive that'll be available online tomorrow. We'll be back on World of Wrestling Radio.
Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later, the haters will be the one. Well, they showed you the statue, told you to pray.
based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. Hero says, whenever they wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Bischoff,
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey Wild Talkers, Tim Stein here to tell you about our current contest. We call it Show Us Your WTR. If you do, you can win.
Kick ass, dude!
All you have to do is take a photo of yourself, family, or friends holding a Wild Talk radio sign.
Oh, righty then.
Then send it in to us.
You got mail.
You bastard!
Once we receive your photo, you are automatically entered to win a DVD of your choice.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
All entries will be eligible for our grand prize drawing at the end of the contest period. Grand prize to be announced at a later date. Great weekly programming here at Wild Talk Radio, totally free for the listening. Plus now, we are paying you for being loyal fans.
Holy crap, dude.
Be as creative as you want with your pictures. Just make sure you send them to admin@wildtalkradio.com as soon as possible.
No!
And ladies, if you want to write Wild Talk Radio across your chest and snap a pic, you win automatically.
Swing!
We're just nice people that way. Just make sure you are at least the age of majority so nobody gets in trouble. Just dirty looks.
It'll be...
Yeah. If you ladies do choose this option, include your DVD choice when you send the photo. And you don't have to show your face if you feel brave enough to send this pic.
Does this seem weird?
Hey, it pays to listen to Wild Talk Radio.
This concludes our broadcast day.
OWW Radio.
She had me going crazy.
Alan Wojcik.
She woke me up daily.
OWW Radio.
Talk Radio Network. Thanks to Rude Warrior Animal for joining us. The book is available in stores, available through Amazon.com, through I can't remember the name of the publisher right now, independent. I'm horrible with that stuff. But go ahead, give the ovation. Go ahead. Bug is standing in his living in his house. He's having a blast. Bug joining us, Mace joining us, Sir Rockin' joining us, some of the folks in the chat room still joining us.
Jamal's in the chat room, by the way.
Oh, Kevin's in the room.
That's why do you think when I entered the chat room, I said Jamal's in the house. He's in the chat room.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, don't. At one point, yes, my wife's cell phone ringtone for me for some frickin'
Alan,
reason.
Alan, baby, Wojcik.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going on OTL Wednesday night. Next thing you know, my wife's headphone has the headphones on her ears, and I'm like, this can only end badly. So, yeah.
It ended horribly for you, ended great for us.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Because now we have a promo out of it. Have you heard this yet?
Yeah, we heard it. We just played it.
I didn't know we just played it.
Yeah, they just played it. I don't know why, but they did. perfect song to come back to since we're going to get into WWE and the first thing out of the gate. We mentioned it with Road Warrior Animal. Tammy Sitch, also known as Sunny, last night announced to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'll save my opinion for the moment. We'll go to Spug first. Fine with this or not fine with this?
No. No, I'm not fine with it. And he was so candid about everything else. I wish he would have been candid about that. Because, quite honestly, how can you call it a Hall of Fame when you have individuals like the Road Warriors, like Ravishing Rick Rude, like Macho Man Randy Savage, Abdullah the Butcher, Mick Foley, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. The Rock! The Rock isn't even in your Hall of Fame! And yet you're gonna put her in it? It's not a Hall of Fame!
The Rock's going to Miami next year, dude. That's a given.
I know, but still.
Okay, that's a mace.
That's the thing. He's not in there now.
Mm. Okay, it's a mace. Do you agree, disagree, or meh?
I'm with Spug. I'm not a fan of this induction at all. Personally, I'm sitting here going, we should have had Luna Vachon going in before Sunny, just for the contribution of her plus her old man's in the Hall of Fame as well, so you have a family connection there. Yeah, even Miss Elizabeth deserves a spot before Sunny.
Yeah, Luna Vachon did go into the WSU Hall of Fame this past weekend along with Ivory and April Hunter. So go to WSUWrestling.com. You can check all that stuff out. I have to agree completely after having met the woman. She was part of ASW Full Throttle, came in and was not what I expected. And I'll just leave it at that.
From what I've heard about that show, Ellen, she had a hard time keeping her top up.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll agree with Jersey Girl, who's in our chat room right now, that Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage should go in as a duo in the near future. Maybe we had Wendy Richter go in recently, so you're honoring that kind of folks. But for her to call herself the original WWE diva, I kind of go to Miss Elizabeth first because she was one of the first female characters that wasn't performing in the ring each and every week until she got to WCW and Vince Russo said, hey, I got the pen. I want to see boobies. Rumor is going around. That's why we didn't ask him because we didn't want him to have to spoil it. But rumor is going around still is that the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering are going to be possibly going in this year. Also the Jersey Girl, Owen Hart will never go in the WWE Hall of Fame as long as Martha Hart's alive and has the ability to sue somebody. Wish it would happen, but it wouldn't. We teased it with Animal, and we'll bring it around now to everybody, that once again, we had not one, but two returns to Monday Night Raw of names from the past, and I don't mean recently, like Dolph Ziggler and Vicky Guerrero coming over from SmackDown, but your guest referee originally was supposed to be former WWE champion, the longest reigning in the SmackDown era, as he came out and said with his wonderful hat on there, Fox analyst, married to a Fox Network affiliate person, JBL, obviously Stone Cold Steve Austin, changed things like that. And Mace put it on the Online World of Wrestling Radio Facebook page. You can be friend us. You can friend Tap Outs to Knockouts on there as well. That it almost feels like WrestleMania 19 is around here. I mean, to Mace then the Spug, obviously Austin's there to help promote the Tough Enough event, which will start airing the night after Mania. So April 4th at 11:05, you'll get Tough Enough version, whatever this is up to. But are you, does this just smell of lack of confidence in this current roster that you have to have on it? Triple H, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels is a given to get involved possibly in that match now that it's no holds barred. You've got Austin, you've got now JBL. I'm sure someone else is going to be coming back. I mean, do you agree with my sentiment that this is just lack of confidence in this current roster, or you think, no, the roster's great, and this is just more the merrier to get the pay-per-view bucks?
It comes across very much as a lack of confidence in the roster, which is a real shame because the roster they have right now is quite strong and is good enough to carry a pay-per-view like WrestleMania. But I don't know, it just seems that, you know, some people in the office who may or may not have mutton chops these days, has decided that once again it's the old guys on top, the young guys go back to mid-card. As I said, WrestleMania 19 all over again.
You leave my husband out of this, sir.
Dude, if your husband ends up the main event at WrestleMania, I'm going to rip the living shit out of him and you.
I don't think they will. I don't think that it's going to be the main event. I'm pretty sure that Cena Miz is going to end up being the main event.
Heaven forbid he's not.
I think quite honestly that it smacks of both. One, they're trying to garner the pay-per-view bucks, and two, that they might not have a whole lot of confidence in the current roster. I mean, and to bash my husband for a moment, this is a guy who kept CM Punk stuck down in the developmentals for as long as he did, you know, 7 years plus. Because CM Punk did a top rope pedigree better than Triple H could ever pray to do a regular pedigree.
Pepsi plunge, baby. Watch out.
You have individuals like Randy Orton, like CM Punk, John Morrison, The Miz, and then, you know, as reported, earlier, there are former champions working dark matches on SmackDown.
Yep, Shelton Benjamin fans was at the SmackDown taping tonight, so read into that what you want.
So, I mean, and you have this thing going on with Danielson and Sheamus right now, which I quite honestly would really like to see Danielson versus Sheamus and maybe, you know, Ziggler in like a triple threat. Or... Kofi's still the IC champion right now, isn't he?
For the moment, if he's on TV, which he was not a part of SmackDown this week.
I mean, so you could work. I mean, you could literally work Kofi, Benjamin Danielson, and Ziggler into a match at Mania, and it would be a phenomenal match.
I'll make whoever pins the champ gets a belt. If you don't pin the champ, too bad.
Yeah, I mean, or it could be a unification.
Ooh,
you know,
watch that word. Watch out. We had that word once before, and we all know how wonderful that worked out.
Well, you know, if you have, you have the two belts, right? You have the U.S. and the IC belt, and they're not defended a whole hell of a lot. They're basically props. They're ignored. You put those four individuals in the ring. And you say, have at it, boys. You know, the winner walks out as the, you know, the new, you know, unified Intercontinental champion or whatever. At that point, what?
Tell me that's not true. We're going to break from format for a second because I'm a big Isles and Chains fan.
What?
TMZ is apparently reporting that former bassist and recent Celebrity Rehab visitor Mike Starr is dead.
I just fucking saw them a year ago.
He was just on the most recent Celebrity Rehab. Him, Tom Sizemore, and Mackenzie Phillips came to visit the group that had Eric Roberts in it and Janice Dickinson, and we actually had an Alice in Chains night a few nights ago. So give us a minute, wrestling fans, because we're were pretty much in shock.
I literally, Alan, I'm not kidding. They headlined Rock on the Range in Columbus in 2009. Well, no, it would have been spring of 2010 is when they headlined Rock on the Range with their new lead singer. And
who's got a great voice.
He sounds just like Layne Staley.
Yeah, this is what it reads here on TMZ. Star appeared during the third season of Celebrity Rehab back in 2009. Was arrested last month for felony possession of a controlled substance. Salt Lake City cops said he had 6 Xanax pills and 6 Opana painkiller pills and he was busted. Mike's dad tells TMZ, quote, "It is a terrible shock and tragedy. Police tell us Star's body was found in a Salt Lake City home today. Cops were called in to the house at 1:42 p.m. Salt Lake City time." So
that's,
now I know how Howard Cosell feels to announce that one of my favorite musicians is dead. And I'm sorry to crash the show into the ground for the moment there, but as I said, I watched this guy on Celebrity Rehab come through methadone and heroin and everything and have to talk to Layne Staley's mom in one of the last episodes where she was brought in to sit and talk with Mike. And no, it's cool, Mace. I would have found that out later on anyway. I would have had a holy crap moment. But we'll get back on track here real fast.
I can finish my point or we can take a quick break
ahead,
so
please.
We can collect our thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
But you mean you could have a unification, and I honestly think that this WrestleMania is going to be a lot like the Mania we saw 10 years ago, WrestleMania 17, when we had moments like the triple threat tag team match and the spear from Edge to Jeff Hardy off the ladder. You know, I honestly think that this Mania, it doesn't look like a lot right now, and they're doing a lot to try and draw names and buy rates and people in, but I really think that this Mania is probably going to go down in history as one of the better Manias.
Yep, Sir Rock, and before we go, actually, I don't need to take a break. I'm actually fine right now. Rock makes a point here in our private chat. He says, here's a point about the Taker-Hunter match, that there is word going around backstage at WWE that they won't even mention that they touched at WrestleMania 17. And if you're a fan of WWE, go back and watch that match. And
it was horrible.
As much as he's your man crush, preach it, because I watched the match recently thanks to my WrestleMania anthology.
That match was horrible. That match was god awful for both. Not just Hunter, for both. I mean, it was atrociously bad.
And Mike Chioda, of course, took a great nap in the ring there. The card as it is set right now, and as much as I want to talk about SmackDown, there really wasn't much to remember off of that show. Edge defeating Drew McIntyre, and your tag champs are still your tag champs. We still have announced world champion Edge taking on Alberto Del Rio.
By the way, how screwed up, sorry, I almost said the F word there.
You're okay.
How screwed up was that contract signing when Edge is from Canada, Alberto Del Rio's from Mexico, and the idiots from Cleveland are chanting USA?
Yeah, it's a little weird to see that.
I mean,
and I still couldn't spot you, Spug. I was looking.
I don't think they ever panned the camera over us. I don't remember. But one of my buddies who lives in Boston texted me when he was watching the show. He's like, he said that. He goes, Edge is from Canada, Del Rio's from Mexico, and they're chanting USA. I blame you. I'm like, not my fault. I had nothing to do with that one.
Yeah. This card also has on it now Triple H versus Undertaker in a no holds barred match.
Interesting enough, WrestleMania 17 was also a no holds barred match.
Shocking, isn't it?
Mm. Wonder where history repeats. Can I ask something of both of you guys while we actually have the mention of Taker here? Is it just me, or does that music so not suit him at the moment?
The No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down?
Suit him, the last outlaw.
He's still walking and looking like the dead man character he portrayed before. He's just now got like a sort of country song to it. It feels out of place to me.
TV doesn't do it justice. It's honestly one of those things that's better seen live. To be honest with you.
I'm planning. They're coming down here in June.
Because when they did that...
When
he came out on SmackDown and cut his promo on SmackDown, that entrance was really good live. I think he needs to work out the timing better with the song. Because, I mean, you remember when he would raise the lights and everything to the old funeral march? He had it down to a science. And when he stuck his arms out and everything. And also, I really don't think the whole slow raising the lights works anymore. You got to do it, you know, when he would just throw his hands out and the lights would come on.
Yeah. I want to bring this up because if you watched Monday Night Raw last night, you had a moment that I probably did too of saying the following phrase. Wow, TNA, you suck because you pre-taped your stuff and you can't counteract this. The Jersey Shore is coming to WWE, bitches.
Why?
Nicole Pelosi, better known to Jersey Shore viewers as Snooki, will be live in
Fat
St.
Bitch.
Louis. This is big shock after having Angelina Pivarnik, which we'll address in a few moments when we get to TNA, and Jennifer Farley, known as Jay Wow, coming in. So she's going to be a guest host, guest star, guest whatever. Is this just WWE doing that, going, yeah, you got the Shore gimmick and you got them, but look who we got. And you can't do crap about it because you're a tape and we're live. Sounds familiar, Eric Bischoff. If you're listening, we love you, Eric.
No, we don't.
I don't.
I think you're a retard.
Yeah, but he's controversial and podcasts love him.
You know what? You can talk with morons, or you could come on a real wrestling radio show and defend yourself. Just saying.
Yeah, Jersey Girl just brought up one. I don't know if this is announced or not. She's
Before you move this on, I've got to say this about the whole Jersey Shore friggin' Snooki thing. Well, actually, I got two small things. One, she's going to be passed around the backstage area like the ring rat that she probably is. The Spug knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, I've had my fair share of ring rats.
And the second, this proves what I have been saying for so goddamn long. People hate on TNA to hate on TNA, and when the WWE does the same thing that TNA had done months ago, all of a sudden WWE gets a pass. People like it. I'm not having a go at you. Calm down, lunatic.
I'm not giving them a pass.
I'm talking about other fans, not you, stupid, so shut up.
Sheesh. I will not give them a pass on this. Why on earth would you bring in Snooki of all people? Especially, all right, here's the thing. You had TNA doing the cookie gimmick, right?
Yeah.
And you couldn't get Snooki to appear then.
Yeah.
You brought in JWoww. So now WWE brings
in... She's got better tits.
She does have better tits. They're not nearly as good as somebody else's, though.
Yeah, but she's sworn Hornswoggle's height, so it works. I've seen photos of the girl. She's got a novel out, for God's sakes, I think, entitled...
What is it, a speak and say book?
No, it's apparently a Jersey Shore-inspired book.
Does it read like Runs? Does it read like know. Run Spot Run? Could my 5-year-old read it? I mean, seriously, this girl's right. She wrote a novel? She didn't write a novel. It'd be filled with more bad techno music and orange spray tan than Jeremy Borash could handle.
let me steer this back to wrestling for a second.
No, we like this.
Oh, come on. Save it for your show. You get to kill the midgets and stuff there. She's close to a midget. Jersey Girl brought this one up. She said she saw this on another news site, not ours, of a rumored match. Trish Stratus teaming with Kelly Kelly and John Morrison to take on Lay Cool and Dolph Ziggler. Any interest in that match from either one of you?
No, but I'm looking forward to the one before it. That would be Trish Stratus versus Vicky Guerrero, ladies and gentlemen, next week on
That's
Raw.
That's right.
As Omega said to us while we were watching Raw and this got announced, he told us how this is going to go, and I agree with him.
Right,
it's going to be kick to the face, 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 on and on and on until Trish's foot gets tired.
Either that or Omega's bottle of Jergens wears out.
Oh, look, Omega was such a happy little man yesterday. Everything was just going his way.
Yeah, speaking of going this way, WWE has been going this way. Of all the publications, Forbes.com, yes, Forbes.com, had a positive article on World Wrestling Entertainment stock, actually encouraging investors to jump on the WWE bandwagon and buy a piece of the company.
I am a shareholder.
Yep. This came from Forbes writer David Trainer. Quote, with a return on invested capital over 22%, it is one of the most profitable companies in the United States. Few businesses are flexible and scalable enough to boost profit margins when revenues decline. And seeing how cheap the stock is, leads us to believe that few investors have adequate appreciation for the strong economics of WWE business. So thanks to Forbes.com for that.
So how much is it going to cost us for, well, everyone on the Wild Talk Radio Network to go in and buy enough stock that we can turn around to Vince and say, hey, we own enough of your company. Get rid of these writers. We're going to write for you.
The IWC is taking over.
I think I own, when I bought stock, it was $11.22 a share, and that was short. That was my senior year in high school, so that was 10 years ago. And wow. I've never done anything with it. It's just sat there. And I think I bought 50 shares.
Okay, so you got enough to get a seat when they do the stockholder meetings. Have you ever listened to any of the stockholder calls?
Uh-uh. Dude, I...
Because they are interesting.
No, literally, quite honestly, I bought my shares with, I think it was $500. I invested a paycheck in it, and I've never done anything with it. I have my certificate sitting somewhere around my house that says I own them. And that's it. I've never done anything with it. Not once. Yeah.
If you didn't think WWE was over enough, retail giant Kmart has been appointed the exclusive WWE sponsor for all live events, as you noticed during Monday Night Raw last evening, including pay-per-views for the rest of 2011. The agreement comes into effect today, or yesterday actually, and reports are that Kmart paid around $10 million for the deal.
Who owns Kmart, right?
Sears and Lands End.
Sears Roebuck.
Yeah.
Sears Roebuck owns Kmart. So.
Yeah. Here's what comes with it. Let me finish this and then you can go ahead. Which is not much considering that they'll be getting weekly airtime on all WWE television, pay-per-views, and advertising at all house show events. The deal also includes 30-second commercials every week on Raw and SmackDown. The name and logo will also appear in all marketing materials, tickets, websites, inside WWE Magazine, and Superstars and Divas will be making a total of 12 appearances at stores throughout 2011. The chief marketing officer for Kmart named Mark Snyder said, Kmart is excited to expand its relationship with WWE. This partnership will allow our customers to engage with an exciting entertainment brand and enjoy exclusive offers and promotions throughout the year. So thanks TNA for sitting there going, damn, can we get Walmart or Target on our side, pretty please?
Hey, the Kmart ad that they have going now is actually quite amusing.
Well, Kmart's dying out anyway.
Most retailers, unfortunately, going out. But I guess if you go in there, I know for a while they had a setup where you could buy certain DVDs for $14.95. I think they had the recent Chris Jericho anthology up there, one of the Undertaker anthologies. But it just shows how the differences are between WWE and TNA. You look at WWE, who's got a deal with Mattel, who is one of the most humongous toy retailers in the world. Go into any store, and if you don't believe us, you'll see it. It's fun for my 8-year-old to walk in and see a Teddy DiBiase doll and go, I remember Teddy chasing me around for my M&Ms at FCW events. I mean, there's shirts. There's anything that you could think of back in the day, it's back again. Just no damn ice cream bars, man. Where's my ice cream bars?
They have WWE ice cream bars.
Oh, they're back again?
They've gone or ate them.
The ice cream truck that comes around my house in the summertime has them. They have a John Cena one.
Yeah, which also comes back to...
it's kind of fun to eat John Cena's head.
Yeah, speaking of Cena, I was going to let this slide, but I figured we'll talk about this as well. Once again, the war of words between Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not in Dallas last night. The Miz actually tweeted, and they showed it during the event, that he was boycotting it because he felt he wasn't getting the proper attention. And we had another wrap-off event with John Cena. And lo and behold, who happened to show up but Ohio's own The Miz? Is he right when you listen to his promo and that, hi, I'm the WWE champion? Is there being too much creatively being put on The Rock's here? It almost reminds us of WrestleMania 18, I believe it was, that Chris Jericho was the unified champion, and he was a backstory to Stephanie McMahon and Triple H being at the ringside together. Do we have that kind of thing happening here, Mace? That the champion, it doesn't matter who the champion is because you've got Dwayne Johnson and John Cena in the same place? And is that sad for someone like The Miz to sit there and go, hi, belt?
Hell yeah. You know, I've been saying it for weeks. They've putting so much emphasis on Cena and The Rock that The Miz has got lost in the background. And to be honest, his attack and following promo, even though I don't like the six, like the friggin', that close-up shot was just too bad, like really, really bad, and it looked like he had too many 5-hour energy drinks at once because his eyes were bugging out. But, you know, it was something that was saving any hype that they need for this match, because with every time The Rock's been around, it's been killing the match.
Alan!
Yes.
Alan, Spug want to talk!
Spug talk.
Spug talk about John Cena and Miz. Miz looked like poo-poo in ring.
Okay. Caveman.
I gotta agree with Mason, this one. I said, I brought it up for that reason. It's almost an afterthought of, oh, hi. Oh, you're the WWE champion. That's who you are. I thought you were just a guy from the real world who is involved in this show. I mean, it's just a shame that anybody that walks into this match, and we'll have a preview event on the 29th of this month. We'll have some contributors, our other contributors like Phil Strom, Kevin Scott, if he's watching wrestling anymore, we miss you when we talk.
Jamal's supposed to be on here tonight, by the way. He said he was going to call in.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
He's in mourning, though.
He's not calling in for TNA. He's calling in for something else.
Oh, God, is he?
Oh, yeah. By the way, he doesn't need to get fancy with the email.
Ooh.
Mace knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with fancy emails, but okay, let's run with it.
Oh, Lord. And as Jersey Girl said, it was not a rap off. It was a hip hop off. And it's like, okay,
it was weak sauce.
It was weak sauce. You know, what makes me mad is that they're hyping this up like these two are actually going to wrestle at Mania. And if that's the way they want to go with it, then fine. Do it. But you have your champion, the face of your company, as a underlined factor in this right now. He's not even a big deal. And you have, no, you're not being, I promise you, you're not being set up for a rib.
Spug, finish, collect yourself, finish your thought. I am sending Alan the link.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sorry. But so, you know, if you're going to do that, you know, if you're going to have them wrestle, then do it. Have them wrestle. That's fine. But for God's sakes, do something with your champion that makes him look like a damn champion.
Yeah, I said, that's why I brought up Chris Jericho, because they vividly remember him being the undisputed champion going into that match. And a lot of my friends at the time when I lived in Nashville were just going, yeah, but I want to see what happens with Stephanie and Triple H. And I'm going, what about the guy with the really big two belts on his shoulder? Hello? And it's awkward. We also did have, I'm not sure what the heck was going on there. I don't know if it was an injury, legit, or if it was something just to set up, as May said, an idea for Mania, but you had Daniel Bryan defeating King Sheamus by a count out. And Sheamus asking not only for a rematch, but following in Velvet Sky's recent thing, or Madison Rayne of, I lose, I'm gone from the WWE. It looked like he legit twinged his ankle outside the ring, so I'm not 100% sure what could have happened there. But if it was, it was a nice cut. Oh, dear Lord, what am I about to read? Do I want to...
Speaking of which, I have to bring up, I got your emails, Alan, your forwarded emails. And so I decided on my own to send an email to Mr. Shane Cox.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
And it was, you know, everybody wanted to see the email that I sent to make sure that I wasn't going to do something horrible. And so I figured, as opposed to sending it to everybody, I would read it to you.
Oh, dear God.
So here goes. Shane, I think you misinterpret my comments in comedy for actual racism and vitriol. Perhaps listening to actual context in which comments are said and the tone of voice in which they are said in might be more beneficial than just assuming I am bordering on racism. In today's day and age, people are always looking for a reason or way to be offended. It is unfortunate, however, that because of this, people cling to misguided beliefs and political correctness. I do not claim to be PC, nor do I pretend to be. The same things I say on the air, you would hear me say to friends of mine who are black, Asian, Mexican, or homosexual. I am unapologetically non-subtle and non-PC. I speak my mind. I find racial humor funny as it makes people deal with their own prejudices. And to be perfectly honest, if I can get under someone's skin enough that they think I should be removed from a free internet radio show, it makes me smile on the inside. As for the Heyman comment, yes, Heyman was a genius in the sense of booking. However, he couldn't be trusted with a checkbook, much like a Jeff Hardy fan can't be trusted at a buffet. Dreamer, Taz, Heyman, and the Dudleys are key reasons why that bingo hall company became an international phenomenon and has the lasting power that it did. Vince in the day recognized the market and the power of this promotion and tapped into it, allowing ECW talent to appear on several editions in the early days of Monday Night Raw, including an ECW-themed episode before ECW's first pay-per-view. In the same vein, it is why Jerry Lawler appeared with WWF / WWE talent at that bingo hall to cut a promo against against ECW, which in turn garnered more interest for the product. To think that the world of professional wrestling as we know it is all by the hand of Vince is absolutely asinine. Vince had an outstanding idea on how to bring together a global community, but he's not the end-all be-all of wrestling promoters. Many have come before him, and many will come after him with ideas and the ability to once again revolutionize the wrestling business. Remember this for the next time when you want to name drop about all the greats you've talked to. Sid was only a legend in his own mind, warped and demented as it is, and as Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith. They had that little tag team they called the British Bulldogs before Dynamite got all messed up on drugs and wheelchair bound, and Davey Boy went on to be one hell of a singles wrestler in his own right. Sincerely, Spug.
We do have a caller, it looks like. This one happened to be Jamal, would it?
Maybe.
Jamal!
Yes! He's got Pookie, Ray Ray, and Big Steve with him. Kevin Scott.
Actually, I have Pookie sitting here in my lap. It is a teddy bear of mine. I'm not kidding. The thing that Mace called a caveman is a gimmick of mine named Spug, who on March 26th will be making his in-ring return in Eastlake, Ohio.
He's here. We gotta ask, cause Phil brought it up. Is it that hard to watch TNA for you that you've taken this sabbatical? Cause we're in mourning a little bit, but give us the true Hollywood story. Did TNA finally break Kevin Scott's, will?
In a short answer, yes. I think not the live show, the one before was, I was watching these, well, not the, I shouldn't say the last one that went on, out of Orlando. I, just sat there and I think my brain melted. And when it finally got to the end with the whole, rip off of the WWE thing with, Undertaker, I just have no desire to watch this program anymore. I mean, I did watch the past week because I had just morbid curiosity to see how they were going to pull it off. Not only leaving the Impact Zone, but also where they're going storyline-wise. And while I will say they did a decent show, it was somewhat of a good effort, it just wasn't enough for me to reconsider walking away for at least a short period of time.
Well, tell you what, stay with us for a second here. We're going to go to break, and we'll come back and talk TNA Wrestling. For fans that are joining us here, it was supposed to be Billy Joel and I, but with the unfortunate passing of Mike Starr, bassist from Alice in Chains, I want to play one of my favorite Alice in Chains songs, and I'm going to take my headset off and cry for a minute, because I really thought after he was on Celebrity Rehab and then Sober House with Tom Sizemore that Dr. Drew had gotten through to Mike Starr, and I'm pissed off right now. So All I Will of Wrestling Radio will be right back. We're going to miss you, Mike.
Place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of onlineworldofwrestling.com. OWW Genesis, it's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sit in front of here and do that with my hands. That's one of the most amazing things. If you've ever seen Billy Joel in concert, that's usually Billy Joel's opener is Prelude and then into Angry Young Man. Alan Wojcik, Online World of Wrestling Radio, is back here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're brought to you each and every week by them, 9 p.m. Eastern. If this is your first time listening to us, no, we're not on every night, but that would be pretty cool and also probably blow everybody's minds out to be like, you gotta listen to that Wojcik guy every night? We'll list all the great programs that are on the Wild Talk Radio Network as we get towards the end of the show. I want to apologize for losing my composure over the passing of Mike Starr of Alice in Chains. And I want to say, hey, people like car crashes. After all, they're watching Charlie Sheen right now on his Ustream. And, hey, They're watching TNA because the 3/3/11 edition of TNA Impact with the return of Sting and the wedding of Jeff and Karen Jarrett drew a 1.36 rating, which averages out, thanks to Nielsen Media Research, as 1,847,000 viewers, and that is up over 300,000 viewers from the previous week edition in Orlando. Spug joining us. Kevin Scott has graciously joined us. He will be back in a couple weeks for our WrestleMania 27 preview. The boys from WrestleTalk Radio will be doing one on their own on April 2nd, so they'll have the night off from us that night. But the weirdest part of this show, and as Kevin will testify, because we were talking for a little bit during it, as much as he was sitting there going, I could hear grunting, screaming, shouting, things being thrown. And he's in New York. I'm in Florida, and I could hear the vibe coming from there. Without going into a ridiculously long diatribe, which I'm sure you can find on Kevin Scott's Facebook page, give me at least one thing you did like out of this show. Was there anything you did like besides the opening credits and the closing credits?
I didn't die while watching it.
That is always a plus. I'm happy you are here, and so are Pookie, Ray Ray, and Big Steve from lockdown over at Rikers Island. For fans that didn't watch the show, I'm going to do the fastest rundown I can possibly get. Shocker, shocker, is the immortal one, Hulk Hogan, brother, made it to Impact. Granted, you never saw him physically get in the ring. That was brought up to me at ASW Full Throttle on Friday night and also at Best of the Best in Orlando, which had a great crowd. The people said to me, it's like, didn't you notice that he came down the rampway and then magically by like Star Trek teleportation or something, or clever editing, thank you Dave Sahadi, that you never saw the Hulkster get in the ring. But we found out once again, Hulk Hogan rules TNA, poor Dixie Carter, the judge favored her, which is gonna be one of the dumbest things ever. For no reason whatsoever, then, hey, he cut a great promo, as we mentioned, with Road Warrior Animal. Bart Scott of the New York Jets is there, getting into a backstage fight. Your World Tag Team Champions, Beer Money, are still your Tag Team Champions, and it looks like on this Thursday's Impact, or possibly at the pay-per-view, we're going to see Ink take on Beer Money. We had Velvet Sky survive her career-ending match with Sarita. But as we mentioned, The Shore and Angelina came out, and I don't know if she was ridiculously over tipsied or if it was later on in the evening that Angelina got tipsied, but we're apparently going to see a Shore versus Angelina, Beautiful People versus JWoww match. Take one of the wedding, well, ended with Kurt Angle beating the crap out of the groom, Karen meeting a cake, Karen coming out later on looking like she had been to Kabuki Theater. We had Scott Steiner defeat Rob Terry. We had Matt Morgan defeat Hernandez via DQ. We also had an axe of all things, an appearance. It wasn't a sledgehammer. It was an axe, ladies and gentlemen, that Kurt Angle pulled. We had Bart Scott tapping to an ankle lock. The New York Jets fan and I am sitting there going, for God's sakes, let him go. And yes, your TNA World Heavyweight Champion went from a recovering addict to a 50-some-odd-year-old man. I'll say my opinions for the end, but to Mace, is this just like, you know, we talk about jumping the shark, you know, the old Fonzie line from Happy Days, but is this the worst TNA episode you've ever watched? And were you like Kevin that you could barely make it through it and thank God for the fast forward on the DVR? Or did you actually like this show?
Cornette face. People should know.
Yeah.
When Cornette face comes on, there's a specific phrase. And I'm not going to repeat it because we are meant to be PG on this show.
If you want to go R, I'll let you go R. Why not? Brad and Jason, I think won't take offense. Go right ahead. We'll preface it. This is not the express written consent of All in World of Wrestling Radio. Write the Mace thing at gmail.com. Go for it.
Well, as with the appearance of Cornette Face, fuck this company. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I think that says it all. We'll move to Kevin, because I'll give Spug time to formulate here, but let me walk Kevin through
for
a second here. Okay, well, let me go with Kevin first. Let me go with Kevin first.
You go, Joel.
I will give props to the wedding for the fact that it got Eric Young and Orlando Jordan TV time. I was very happy to see EY get some time. And nothing beat, I don't know who looked better in their dress, Karen Jarrett or Orlando Jordan. I mean, the idea of weddings in general, I mean, we talked about the Billy and Chuck one before. I was in attendance for SummerSlam 91's wedding. You've had going all the way back to, I think Uncle Elmer got married back in the WWF days. But it's a surprising 300,000 more people tuned in to watch this show because of probably this wedding and Sting. But take the wedding first, and then we'll address the old man with the championship.
I'm not even sure how to even approach this one. My whole issue with the way they presented it was that you took one of their, I can't say one of their one of two major storylines going on right now, and you turned it into a comedy skit. And it just made no sense to me in terms of, you know, you're going through this whole thing where they spent the last couple of weeks building up towards it. It's going to be this great big, you know, gala festivity kind of thing going on. And obviously you have Eric Young and Orlando Jordan, you know, just playing it for laughs, which storyline-wise completely doesn't make sense. And granted, you know, they're trying to be entertaining, and I guess TNA just has a different sense of humor than everybody else. But I just don't understand why you'd waste so much time just for the obvious pratfalls of the cake and then Angle coming out as an axe murderer later. That was just absolutely stunning.
He looked stoned. He looked like something different. He looked like he went into Jeff Hardy's stash at some point, standing there. I was talking to one of my friends online, and I'm just going, does Kurt Angle look lit, or is it me, man? Is he watching the Big Lebowski backstage? I mean, what the heck?
I give him credit for trying something different, but really? That was the best they can come up with?
Okay, right? Take our new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Kevin. Is this the breaking point mentally for you that of all the talent roster you've got, you put the belt on Sting?
I can only look at it as they were saying, thank you for not going to the WWE. Here's the title. That's the only way that I can accept what happened. So I believe it was 51, 52 years old.
I believe he's 52, possibly going, I think possibly 53, but if I'm going to be 53, I hopefully will look that decent because the guy has good hair and it looked like he recovered pretty well from that shoulder injury he had.
I'll give him credit for what he was able to do, but just in terms of what is this really saying in terms of their company? You got a transitional champion, I'm sure, transitional champion. You got a guy who, I don't know how he's avoided prison at this point. Anderson takes over him.
He's given somebody head. That's
whoa,
wild.
Hey now. Hey now.
Thanks for that visual. Anderson takes over him a little bit, goes right back to Hardy. Next thing you know, Grandpa has it. I don't know what to think anymore watching it. The belt is a complete joke.
Well, it looks like a complete joke. I mean, at some point,
too.
What are you going to do here? We'll give you a moment to compose your thoughts. To Spug, overall feelings just on the idea of you wanted to go off last week, and I appreciate you didn't, but the floor is yours, and once again, this is Spug's critique, so if there's language dropped, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to hold these guys back. They wanted to go off last week, so the floor is yours.
Again, Cornette Face, fuck this company. You know, I applaud Kevin for coming on here and talking about a company that he is finished with because of what they've done. But to be quite honest, you had a perfectly credible champion in Ken Anderson. And you took it off of him to put it back on Jeff Hardy because Jeff Hardy wasn't going to jail. And now Jeff Hardy's hearing is at the end of the month again, and you took it off of Jeff Hardy and put it on Sting because you don't know what's going to happen with Jeff Hardy. Take it off of Jeff Hardy and leave it off of Jeff Hardy till he's done. How hard is that? How hard?
Really hard.
How hard is that choice? How hard is that decision? When you know that if he's going to jail or not, you know, then put it back on him. If he's not going to jail, fine. But don't keep doing this. And to be quite honest, yeah, Mace and I have our disagreements, and I usually disagree with just about everything he says, or agree partially with it. But when TNA did the Sting thing, they gave the internet wrestling fans everything they wanted that they had been, you know, clamoring over since WWE started running the promo for the Undertaker return at the 21st of February. They gave it to us on March 3rd. You wanted Sting, here's Sting. But they did it the wrong way. They didn't do it live. And, you know, you sit there and TNA wonders why their ratings are continually at a 1 point or lower, why they cannot get a sizable, substantial audience to buy into their product. When you do stupid shit like this wedding angle with Jarrett and Karen and Kurt, when you have an individual who is probably one of the best wrestlers to ever be in your company, and Kurt Angle do a symbolic gesture by leaving his boots in the middle of the ring because he's fed up, obviously. You know, there are comparisons drawn from chat rooms to forum boards to us here about how TNA is like watching the dying days of WCW. No, quite frankly, it's worse. I would rather watch the dying days of WCW than this crap.
And you'll be able to watch the dying days of WCW coming soon. I believe it's May 24th. The best of WC Nitro DVD will be out. You can get this coming Tuesday. The True Story of WrestleMania, and today, Triple H's movie, The Chaperone, yeah, hit the stores.
That wasn't a bad movie.
It really wasn't.
It was cookie cutter. It's a very, very cookie cutter, guy released from prison, wants to get back in touch with his daughter. Daughter doesn't accept him. He does something. Yeah, he does something really nice, and suddenly he's the cool dad, and then something bad happens to start driving them apart again, but they come back together. Standard, cheap scripting, but it was actually well done.
And there you have it, a review of The Chaperone, starring Paul Levesque, also known as Triple H. I get this a lot. I get this at shows when I was at ASW this past Saturday, and when I was there Friday night in Tampa. Two different events, same questions came up to me of fans wanting to know. So what'd you think? I agree with Kevin that this was horrible to watch. And I'm probably never going to get a guest from TNA, and I'm fine with that right now because I don't know if this company, how far lower this company can sink. And for fans that are new to this program, if you're not aware of it, I'll repeat it again. I was to be one of the biggest TNA apologists ever. I have covered TNA since June 19, 2002, was in attendance in Alabama for both events that were taped. And this, quite honestly, bothers me to no other end. That this is a roster that has on it currently Samoa Joe, if you can ever find him, put him on TV. Nigel McGuinness, who, if you've been on our Facebook page, you saw we had a great wanted poster made by Mace and Sir Rockin' for us on him. You got Christopher Daniels working a suicide right now. Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam. You've got Eric Young, who, for comedy's sake, but when he wants to, he can go. You've got Beer Money, one of the best tag teams going around. You've got a great knockouts division that keeps getting better and better. And it pains me to think. I talked to Chris Harris for a brief moment this past week and said to him, it's amazing that this is, even a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this promotion is gone. And it's sad to say, and I feel for all the talent that's on this roster, but this Sunday is a pay-per-view, and I don't even know a damn match for it.
There's none listed. There's not right. one listed yet.
Yeah, possibly you're going to have Ink Ink versus Beer Money. I'm supposed to be doing a preview of Victory Road tonight. Guess what? That was my preview of Victory Road. Oh, there are apparently five listed. Can Sir Rockin please share them if possible?
They were announced Monday.
Yeah, because apparently we're going to see this Thursday Mr. Anderson's retort to Sting getting the championship, which, I mean, where does that leave a character like Mr. Anderson? It's very confusing for Russo, Creative, whoever, to not have anything. You're going to build your entire pay-per-view in one night. Okay. Here we go. This is somewhat what we got here. A first blood match between Hernandez and Matt Morgan. For the Ultimate X Championship, we're going to have Ultimate X match. Heaven forbid we save it for Destination X. Kazarian will defend against the Bucks, Generation Me, and Robbie E. Ink Ink will take Beer Money. A challenge match has been set. Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer. And the Knockout Tag Team Champions, Angelina Love and Winner. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're champions. Taking on Sarita and Rosita. If that's your pay-per-view right now, I'm only going to watch it this Sunday because I have to cover it for this program. And possibly Mace thinks that we may have a Sting versus Hardy match. We may have Sting versus Hardy versus Anderson. We may have Sting versus Hardy versus us, for all I know. I don't get it, and it pisses me off, and it takes a lot to piss me off on certain occasions. I'm one of the most even-keeled people when it comes to wrestling, that I have no control over it creatively, so I'll just sit there and enjoy it. But to have somebody like Kevin, who took time out to come on with us, and we appreciate him for doing it, to have someone like Kevin, who's watched it for years too, I mean, it pisses me off, Kevin, that you're not going to be covering TNA anymore. And I guarantee you that Dixie and Jeff and them don't give a crap.
And so be it. You know, it's a damn shame. I think I started watching wrestling when I was like 3 or 4 years old. Talking about almost 30 years ago. I have had a couple periods where, you know, I may not have followed so much closely because of puberty and women, but in terms of the actual product just completely turning me off, that didn't really happen until maybe for the first time the early 2000s, where I just started, for whatever reason, moving away from it, probably after the invasion angle went completely crap. But then, you know, ROH was there, TNA especially, got me back into wrestling, which makes now just completely miserable. I started to hate writing for my friend Phil's site. I started to hate, you know, coming home. I knew I had to watch it on DVR. I fast-forward a lot of the episode, and I was like, wait, I got to actually watch it to know what I'm talking about. But it's not even so much I don't want to, you know, comment on it anymore. I don't want to watch it as a fan. There's nothing left there for me. The angles are ridiculous. I hate seeing people that I would love to see succeed just fail so miserably over and over and over again because the same people are making the same stupid decisions, and I don't understand why no one can figure this out. I don't understand what's going on in Dixie's head, Jeff's head, Eric's head. I don't think Hogan gives a damn at this point. It's just really it's heartbreaking. You know, it's one of those things where I'm kind of happy that I do have other interests. There are other things I can go look at, and thank God, because if it was just TNA for me right now, I would be I'd be at the shitter right now.
I mean, and I think we would agree that if we weren't doing this show on a Tuesday night. I don't know if Mace would be watching it either right now. And Mace, for fans, as I mentioned, Mace is another fan of TNA wrestling. And it's just, I mean, to Mace, I mean, it's, we've had this discussion before, and I'm sorry for fans that are listening that are going, you guys always bitch, you know, fix this product. Well, okay. In the remaining moments, can this product be saved? Is it, you know, we've had this talk. We had it with David Lagana for a little bit there. Is it Lagana? Is it Paul Heyman? Is it, you know, Jesus Christ coming out of the sky and with Mel Gibson and Charlie Sheen going, we can fix this, brother. Just put some tiger blood on it. We're good.
Winning.
Charlie Sheen riding TNA would make more sense right now. But
Jesus Christ.
But you get Charlie Sheen and you get Brie Olsen and hey, other, and you get the adult film actresses too.
Unlike Kevin Scott, would Charlie Sheen have a fancy email?
What are you talking about?
No. We know why you don't have a fancy email. We at least allegedly know why you don't have a fancy email.
I think there are a lot of people who can claim why I don't have a fancy email.
Oh, wow. Oh, Lord. I just dropped my fucking phone thing.
I really have absolutely no idea what you guys are talking about.
You don't remember the other night on Facebook?
No, can you fill us in? I missed that.
You don't remember the other night on Facebook?
Oh, not at all. Please let everybody know.
I can't repeat it.
Why people hate me.
I can't repeat it, but it was good. Dude, I was on the air when I read that and laughed out loud and interrupted everybody.
My apologies.
Yeah, well, back to Mace. If you can do it in a minute or two, is there a fix to this company, or is it too soon, too late, and we'll be having a rise and fall of TNA DVD soon?
Look, to be straight up honest, we've been trying to find a way for TNA to fix their company for the past, 4 or 5 years as wrestling fans. The company's fucked, pure and simple. There's nothing that's going to bring it back, because if you bring in big names to do it, people are going to go, oh, well, WWE had them. You know, if you try to do your own way, oh, those guys can't be stars. You know, no matter what you do, TNA isn't going to get any further than it is right now. So, again, bringing a comparison to Charlie Sheen, we might as well sit back, watch the car wreck, and laugh our asses off.
You know, sometimes, like, all right, Mason and I play WoW a lot. And sometimes in WoW, with a character, you get it to a point and you realize that you don't like it, it's not working, whatever. You do a thing called delete and reroll. It is time for TNA to wipe the board of everything. And as far as he doesn't own a majority share. Dixie Carter owns the majority. Panda Energy owns the majority share, correct?
I think it's a down the middle thing.
Did Kevin hang up?
I think we lost him. He'll come back. I think it's a middle of the road thing with TNA's who owns what right now.
I hope he comes back.
Well, we're not going to be here much longer, so
he can join us after the show for a little bit. But with TNA, what honestly needs to happen is that they need to somehow get Jarrett out of the picture, buy him out, give him a substantial amount of money, and wipe the record clean. You know, essentially reform the company, give it a new name, whatever you have to do, start small. Get out of Orlando, go around to towns, to small venues, 500 to 2,500 seat arenas, sell out those, build up, build your product, do the things that a promoter and a promotion does.
It's a tricky situation. To Kevin, feel free to do that. Do you agree? Is it Orlando? Because it seemed like that's what it was for the longest while with Nashville. That Nashville just seemed, by you got time in 2004, Nashville was burned to a crisp. And then you kind of were doing the house show thing, and they had the first pay-per-view. You know, you had Victory Road here in Orlando, and the next thing you know, they did the one in Detroit. So is Bug right? I mean, according to Sorokin, he's saying that Eric wants to do that, take the show on the road, and it all depends on production and costs. I mean, at one point, this was a company that Dusty Rhodes had when he was in charge, Kevin. He had the tapings moved so that it was every 2 weeks, the current schedule you had for a while, where they would tape on a Monday and Tuesday, and then you're off for a couple of weeks. So give us your version. If you have the remaining moments here, fix this company. Is it a complete reboot to episode zero?
If it's almost impossible to do a complete reboot, just simply, if you're going to go that far, just pretend TNA never existed. Pretend that everything that you have as a company in terms of who's in the front office, your setup, your ideas, just walk away completely, put somebody else, you know, maybe figurehead in charge, whatever. It's just so much that needs to be changed. Yes, getting out of Orlando is probably a really good move. Making sure you actually promote your product, you know, something little like that. Getting somebody who could actually be the locker room leader that they so desperately need, which is amazing because you figure with all the people that they have brought in, somebody should have probably filled that role a lot better than they have. I really don't see how TNA as it is right now has any chance. One, the name's ridiculous. Maybe just change the Impact Wrestling, do something. The name is just going to kill you in terms of getting to that mainstream audience. Definitely go live. That probably be my major issue. Like you said, with the return of Sting, you shouldn't have known about it a couple weeks in advance. That's a pretty bad deal right there. Stop trying to mimic the company that's been around for several decades more than you have. Get your own identity. Make sure that your product is compelling enough that when you do have somebody tune in because, oh, Sting might be returning, they go, oh, wow, I actually want to watch this. There's so much more this company has to offer, and maybe Sting brought me in, but, hey, who's this AJ Styles guy? He's kind of cool. You know, it's little obvious things like that, and this company's had, what are we talking about, almost a decade now in order to get to this point? Hasn't done it yet. So that's probably why more than anything else, I now need to walk away.
At this point, we're actually going to walk away. We're going to wrap things up here. But before we do, I'll mention a few things. If you've listened to this show, we appreciate it. If you're sitting there and going, dude, I want to go somewhere, but I want to listen to you at the same time, you can actually go on your mobile device browser, any version of it, iPod, BlackBerry, Verizon, whatever carrier you have, type in your browser, wtr.wirenode.mobi, and you can listen to this show and any show on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And I'm going to promote that for a moment here because I am a part of a great network. Tomorrow night is Otaku Talk Live. Depending on how things go around the household, I may or may not be and come on and be insulted again by the Spug guy and Mace and Omega. Had a lot of fun talking of movies and them bashing who may be a future guest on this show, the River of Darkness film. But anything in the works for this week, boys, or is it come as we go?
At the moment, Omega and I were throwing around the idea of general citizens in Marvel comic books, specifically the ones in Amazing Spider-Man. Why the hell are they staying in New York? New York public funding for repairs and whatnots. So between Omega and myself, that's probably going to be a really weird discussion. So it's something definitely to check out on OTL tomorrow night.
Yes, this Saturday is CB Radio with
the Godfather, Rob Parks.
The Subway, who we like on this show. Also, anyone else who decides to drop by midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Sir Rockin' is there as well. You can catch Life is Callous, I believe, now on podcast only. I don't know if Sir Rockin' can correct me on that one, if Johnny Casimir went to podcast only, or is he doing a show this Sunday? Oh, he will be coming to podcast. Okay. This Sunday, Russell Talk Radio will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern because, as we outlined, there is a pay-per-view, Victory Road. So Spug, Maze, Omega, Will, Tim Stein, the god of internet radio himself, Sir Rock, will be on the boards. And I'll be joining them as well to probably rip the living daylights out of this event. If you're a fan of UFC, Strikeforce, or any other hard-hitting stuff, both Spug and Mace are a part of a podcast and sometimes live event called Tap Outs to Knockouts. When's the next UFC or Strikeforce?
March 19th.
That you guys gonna do? Is that
March 19th.
UFC, or is that, which one is that?
It's WEC. Oh my god, I was just looking at it too. It's March 19th. The main event is Mauricio Shogun Hua versus John Bones Jones. And Phil Davis is fighting Antonio Nogueira.
All right.
On Saturday, March 26th on the UFC Fight Night Live. So that's going to be we got back-to-back UFC events. So if you're not doing anything Saturday, Kevin, and you know, you're not out drinking or getting fancy emails
or doing your comedy,
feel free to come by on the 19th and watch some UFC with us.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Maze also, in addition to everything that we've mentioned here, also has a podcast of his own called Bashing the Books. For fans that have never listened, briefly explain the concept, please.
Basically, Bashing the Books is taking current comic books and doing a review-style show of them. I do try to podcast whenever I can. Unfortunately, I have had no spare time since pretty much December. And I know we're in March, naughty boy. But you know what? I've got other things in my life to do, so I'm going to do them first. But before you continue shelling things out, Alan, I'm going to bring this up just quickly. 22-year-old Tennille Taylor from Shimmer has just been signed to a WWE developmental deal.
Oh, fine.
Tennille is somebody I used to deal with and quite a few of my friends used to deal with back in our early days of Australian wrestling. I will say this, Tennille, you're a blonde stick. You still can't throw a clothesline to save your life. We do not know why you're getting a developmental deal, but congratulations anyway. Enjoy your breast implants when you're forced to get them, and basically you fuck up for Australian wrestling, so be careful.
That was awesome. Yeah, once again, yes, normally we're PG here, but this last segment I had to let them go. I released the pigeons or the puppies or the hounds or anything that Taz wants to release. It's enough of it. Apparently, we have merchandise as well. I mean, we're not as fancy as new NWA World Heavyweight Champion Colt Cabana, which made me want to throw up. Sorry, Colt, if you're listening. But
soon to buy the NWA belt off his website.
Made me very upset. But you can get a Met shirt. You can get anything goes stuff. How do we get this stuff, Mace?
You go to cbradio.ewazone.com where you can buy very different merchandise, OTL shirts, meh t-shirt, and all sorts of CB Radio related goodness. So go over there, spend money. Well, okay, so Spug's wife makes him money by giving him head. Good for him. Make us money. Go buy our shit.
Buy anything goes underwear.
And, you know, this is the real reason that Kevin Scott came on.
Oh, God.
Tonight. So, I think we need to give him a few minutes to respond to the emails sent by one Mr. Shane Cox of Simpson University in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, jeez. Do it really quick. Pretty much you said it much better than I could possibly do. Comedy's comedy. Jokes are jokes. If you don't have a sense of humor and you're going to do the whole PC thing, then, you know, probably listening to the show on the internet or might not be a good idea. It's a scary world out there. People are going to have different opinions about what's funny and what's not funny. We could all agree that, yes, some things might be going across the line. What was said was not that bad. And quite frankly, as a black person, because I am, I probably say much more offensive things on a regular basis. Absolutely ridiculous.
Anyway, what I'm about to say is not going to be offensive. Next Tuesday night, if you're a baseball fan, which I know Mace is not, brand new OWW Radio baseball analyst Steve Carino will make his return to our network, depending how jet-lagged he is from his recent tour over in Japan for 0-1. So get your baseball questions ready for him. He will take some wrestling questions as much as he doesn't want to. We may have someone from the River of Darkness film starring Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash and Sid Vicious on the show next week. We're still trying to work it out with the production company. This is a lock on the 22nd. If you were a fan of WCW, we brought it up last week, and my email box blew up like crazy because people were going, you really got him to be on the show? Yeah. 9 o'clock, it'll be former WCW commentator, TNA commentator, groomsman in my wedding, Scott Hudson. 10 o'clock Eastern, one of my new best friends, Marcus Alexander Buff Bagwell, wow, will be on during the 10 o'clock hour. The boys on Wrestle Talk Radio have their own WrestleMania preview that is going to be on April 2nd, I believe at 11, 10 or 11, which one? At 10 Eastern. We will have one here on the 29th, so the boys will have that portion of the show off. If TNA Wrestling still exists at that point, Spug and Mace may rejoin us at that point.
Why wouldn't I stay on for the Mania part?
Because you're going to talk about it all over again on Saturday, dude. All right, fine. You can stay. Just trying to give you the night off. Oh, Spug likes talking Mania. Okay. Kevin has agreed to be on. I believe Graham Coughlin has agreed to be with us, who runs the history of WWE.com. I believe Scott Fishman of Miami Herald's wrestling setup is involved. Sarah and Ari Dagan from In This Very Ring have agreed to possibly stop by. If Phil Strom and Jim Barcelone's schedules agreed, they'll be here. We may get Sorokin to chime in on some Mania. Tim Stein may be able to chime in on some Mania. Everybody will talk it because it's going to be the biggest, hey, wow, interesting looking lady. We just got a picture up of this girl. Like, you're going to make them bigger than that? Okay. Hey, everybody, unless you're a Bella twin, I guess in that company, you're not going to get the boobage home kit that's delivered around. Sorry once again to be the downer of announcing that Mike Starr, bassist of Alice in Chains, dead at 44. Go to TMZ.com, MTVNews.com. It'll probably be all over the morning news shows and with everything that Charlie Sheen's going through. And congrats on getting fired from your own show, dude. I hope you enjoy what you're going through. You'll be a guest host on WWE or TNA soon enough.
He'll be dead soon enough.
That's a sad thing to say.
I hate to say it, but he'll be dead soon enough.
Yes. Thanks to Road Warrior Animal. Definitely go to Amazon.com, RoadWarriorAnimal.com, to get information on where you can meet him in book signings. Thanks to Kevin, to Mace, to Sorokin, to Spug, to Jason Dedrich and Brad Dykens, Tim Steiner, and the song that was written for Billy Joel's daughter, Alexa Ray Joel. The Down Easter Alexa takes us out. We'll see you next week. Online World Wrestling Radio, as always, can be found at OWWRadio.com. Thank you.
say these waters are in what they used to be.